Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, relationships and continuity. Here we go. Well, Mark, I think people may be surprised that the Career Tools measure of how well you're keeping up with your relationships is quite simple, right? If you were to move and your contact were to move, would you still be able to reach them? And I think for a lot of people, that answer is no.
Yeah, I think it's even more than that. I mean, to me, that's just the entry point, right? And of course, it's as simple as starting with, do you have information printed out, right? So you don't lose it in the event, right? You leave a company and you realize, oops, all my contact information was there. But the second part of that, that's whether or not you have a relationship. The question of whether or not the relationship is good also has to do with moving, which is, if you were to move, do you feel the relationship strong enough that if you called them, they would help you? But you're right. Look, if you don't have frequent enough interaction with people to learn in advance that they'd be moving, you know, and if they change companies, their email address changes. And so many of us use corporate email addresses, work email addresses, rather than personal ones. In fact, I think Wendy just wrote a cast on you must have a personal email address that is professional in nature and not surferdude2495 at gmail.com.
And that would be yours, but okay.
Yeah, not so much. If you don't have the kind of information that will allow you to follow somebody's move, or for that matter, a network that would help you find them, then your relationships aren't strong enough. It's simple as that. And that's what this cast is about, how to keep relationships strong enough. And the standard is so low, guys. You're going to listen. You're going to go, oh, I could do that. And of course, the answer is, yeah, we know, but a lot of us aren't doing it. So three things we're going to recommend. Really simple. If it's important, we ought to measure it. So we measure our relationships. Number two, you've got to start. You got to begin the exchange. It's not hard. We're going to make some suggestions about how to do that. And then the key is keeping them warm or not letting them get cold. And we'll make some suggestions about that as well.
Okay. Your first point about measuring relationships, I get excited about this, as will all the other high C's in the audience. I know you all have just sighed a big sigh of relief. At long last, we're going to categorize human relationships, fit them into a nice mathematical model, and stop all that messiness. Dude, I can't wait to hear about this.
Yeah, sorry, dude. Can't be done. It's just like,
oh, you're
just
teasing us. You're teasing us.
Yeah, just like the high C's at the conference, the Effective Communications Conference, when we tell them, you guys should love this stuff. It's numbers for people. Look, it's easy. We're going to use very soft measures, Mike. So you would probably go, well, these are not measures. These are ideas.
But exactly. Anyway,
all human beings measure relationships based on quantity and quality of communications. If a sociologist came in and surveyed your company, they would find out who talked to whom how often, and they would determine what they're talking about, and they would quickly have a map of the lines of influence in your organization with looking at nothing more than voicemail, phone record, and email patterns. It's not terribly hard. And don't get me wrong, I'm not denigrating what those people do. It's complex. But the fundamental principles of measuring quantity and quality are fairly straightforward. Look, think about two people you know right now. Your best friend, maybe, and a guy you know enough that you'd stop on the street and exchange a few words with him, but not somebody you know well. So ask yourself two questions. First, how often do you communicate with each of those people? Most people communicate with their best friend far more often than somebody they know less well than that.
Right.
Pretty simple. Now, it's not a purely linear relationship. You can't measure your relationships on an exact linear scale with the amount of communications, but you certainly can tell top from near top, from middle, from bottom middle to bottom pretty easily. And that's really probably all we need to do. We don't need a precise measure. Anytime you start measuring things too precisely, folks, you begin to believe the outcome. And as long as the number you're assigning something is an estimate, any extrapolation of that estimate, it just increases the variability and the lack of confidence we ought to have in those numbers. I mean, for the person you know well, your best friend, it may just be as simple as a brief text message every couple of days, or a poker night once a week, or It might be you spend most of the day or weekend together because of your kids. Those are all normal situations, right? Whatever the circumstance, the quantity of you of communication between you and your best friend is higher than that of the amount of communication between you and the guy you know less well, even though you do know him. Second, when you talk to the other person, these two people in this little exercise we're having you think about, what do you talk about? You know, when we meet somebody on the street or we run into them maybe in the main hallway of our office building and we don't know them that well, the conversation is something like, hey, how you doing?
Great. You?
Yeah. Doing okay. How are the kids?
Yeah, doing well. Yours?
Yeah. Good to see you, man. Got to keep moving.
All right. Me too, man. See you. That's a great conversation.
Yeah, you love that, right? Yeah, and yet, very little of meaning, very little of substance is exchanged there. Now, we're not saying don't have those conversations. That's better than nothing. Any communication, as long as it's ethical, respectful of the other person and of you, is good. Look, folks, relationships are always decaying. Everything always decays. I like to say that relationships and margins are always decaying, and I used to say that for years, and people never understood that margins were a function of relationships, but that's a whole nother thing. That's a separate podcast. But everything is decaying. You know, you meet somebody, you feel good about it, and a week later you think, wow, I remember how great that conversation was. But in that week, the relationship has decayed. The only thing that increases or causes the decay to be lessened is the frequency and the quality of communication. And frequency, of course, comes first. If you don't have any frequency at all, if frequency is zero, then of course there's by definition no quality. But if you have a brief conversation with a guy in the street, like Mike and I just did, you know, it's fine. It's no problem. But a brief text exchange between you and your best friend has some meaning because you know more, because you ask more pointed questions, because you get more detailed answers, you know. Thinking of you is a common text message, but those three words can convey an awful lot of meaning. I know what's going on with you. I'm hoping for a good outcome. I'm here for you, whatever the case, depending on one assumes that it was a message of thinking of you, that, you know, something's going on in somebody's life that needs prayers or encouragement or what have you. Humans measure the quality of communication by how much it's about them. Hey, how are you? Really isn't about the recipient. It's about politeness coming from the person who's speaking. Thinking about you is definitely about the recipient. And a big part of this is knowledge. And the only way you gain knowledge about somebody else with whom you have some sort of relationship is communication. And look, if I have a short conversation, but I'm clearly asking about the other person, people are going to say, if I'm having a conversation with the same person twice, producers say the second conversation, the one that has more depth, means more, even though it's short. And it doesn't, you know, it's not really terribly specific. And the fact is, folks, all human beings in, you know, the calculus part of our brain that measures who's our friend and who's our foe and all kinds of other complicated things and our emotional need to be connected to other people. And yet for some of us, the need to dominate or the need to subserviate or whatever, all of our relationships, all of our contacts are constantly measuring us on these criteria, quantity and quality. And you are too. You're measuring people around you based on how often they talk to you. If you had a regular conversation with somebody that you worked pretty closely with for almost every day for 6 months, you ran into the hall, you live in the same neighborhood, maybe you go to the same gym a couple times a week. You're friendly. You know, you actually ask this guy to be on your team with you or, you know, she's really sharp in finance. And so you ask a couple questions and she helps out. And then for whatever reason, maybe you're assigned in another part of the country for 3 weeks and you come back and maybe their schedule has changed a little bit. And for the next 3 months, you don't have much communication. I don't think there's anybody listening who would say, I have the exact same relationship with that person that I did before. I just haven't talked to him in the last 3 months.
Right.
Now, I wouldn't argue that you did, in fact, have a solid relationship. No question about it. And I'm not saying that you couldn't have it again when you run into each other in the hall. And we, of course, would recommend you go seek that person out and say, hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. How's it going? Okay, that's fine. But that doesn't mean that between now and then, look, there's nothing wrong with potential relationships, ones that have been warm in the past. That's part of what this cast is about. But If you haven't talked for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks or 3 or 4 or 5 months, that relationship is decayed, and no one listening to this would say after 5 months or 4 months or even 3 months, oh, that's the exact same relationship I had before. It's not. By definition, it's not. Many of you listening have had the thought of yourself of, wow, it's been 3 months and that guy hasn't reached out. I guess we're not as good of friends as I thought we were. And don't feel alone. Everybody feels that at some time or another. Even high C's like Mike, you know, who count their emails.
I remember one time I was talking to you about a childhood friend of mine that I hadn't seen in, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. And to me, he still felt like one of my best friends in the world, right? And you're like, really?
Yeah.
I don't think so. And the sad part of it, you're absolutely right. And I don't know what happened, but he won't even return my calls now. I've reached out on Facebook. I've tried calling. You know, after 15 or 20 years, people go like, yeah, maybe he wasn't my friend.
Yeah. Now, look, I think when I say that to people, when I'm coaching people or when we're working with people on skills or relationships or, you know, career changes where your network matters, I think what they're saying, what they think I'm saying is you'll never be that good of friends with that person again. And that's just false. It's not what we're saying at all. You can, but the relationship at that time has decayed. And it doesn't, well, I suppose you could say it does decay naturally because all things decay. That is the nature of all things, most particularly human things. But the one thing standing between it and decay is our own behavior, right?
Yeah.
So the relationships that survive over time, you know, the ones that survive the test we describe, which is if you were to move and your contact were to move, would you still be able to reach them? Those are the ones that have the quantity and quality that are necessary. Now, everybody draws the line at what's necessary to meet that test at different places, but there's probably a lower limit that almost no one would tolerate. Your best friend certainly wouldn't move without your knowing. The guy you don't know well, of course, he doesn't, he's probably not going to tell you. Although there certainly are cases where people send out a broadcast email, and there's nothing wrong with being on that list. Even though I admit at times, I'm like, why am I on this guy's list? And yet, you know, I've benefited from being on people's lists that at first I thought, why am I getting this email? So now that we've explained how you measure relationships, which frankly, everybody already knew how to do, ask yourself some more questions. Which relationships do I have that are more important for me to keep? And then how often do I communicate with them? And how would I describe the quality of those communications?
Right. And once you know which relationships are the ones which are important to you and what the quality of that relationship currently is, then you can begin to deepen it. And
yeah,
that's what exactly. You described the next step being begin the exchange. So begin the exchange of what, I guess, is the first question I have about that.
Okay. When we say exchange, we just mean communication in all its varied forms and the idea that the behavior of communication is what slows or actually reverses the decay and decline in all relationship. And so when I say exchange, what we're trying to do is say communication, which is how all relationships exist and subsist. But it also includes more than that. And as we've said before, the way to strengthen relationships is to be someone who, if in fact quality is what the other person gets out of the relationship. The way to strengthen a relationship is to give more than you get. You know, as my dad used to tell me, you can get more than you give, or you can take more than you can give, but only for a little while until they run you out of town. So if you want to build a relationship, if you want to begin the exchange, the way to do that is to give first. Now, that doesn't mean that sending an email saying, hey, I thought this would interest you is enough, although that's great. And I think, unfortunately, in the last 30 years or so, in my experience, a lot of people have come to believe that they've been told, hey, listen, the way to stay in touch with people is to find stuff that interests them and send them to them. And so few people are willing to do that, that they end up saying, well, if that's the cost of entry to a relationship, I'm clearly not doing it. I'm not a networker. I don't like schmoozing. I don't like networking. And so I'm not going to do it at all. But in fact, there's a lot more you can do than that. And in fact, if it's been a while, if a relationship has gone fallow, geez, it's as simple as send an email. Say, man, it's been a while. I hope you're doing okay. That's one great way to start. And look, in the example of your friend, your lifelong but lost friend, if you reach out a bunch of times and they don't respond back, say, okay, That one fell through the cracks.
Yeah.
You're going to meet a lot more people in your life. It's okay. Some relationships just end up dying. And some of them die a slow death. Some of them die a quick death. Some of them have hurt feelings and so on. Nothing you can do about it. If it's important to you, you can try to reinvigorate them. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can't. Do your best and then just do your best to move on. Because if you really want a relationship to work, but the other person that doesn't, then it's actually about you and not about them. So don't try to force a relationship on somebody. What's interesting, though, is that I mentioned the example of sending an article or finding something of interest. Now, we don't mean going to a joke website and sending it out to 600 of your closest friends the way I would do. But we do think that exchanging favors is a big part of relationships. And what most people don't understand is that it's not necessarily built on top of an already great relationship. The exchange of favors can, in fact, be the relationship.
That makes relationships sound really complicated, though.
Yeah, but it's not. It's not. Once you decide you want a better relationship with someone, all you have to do is engage in some behaviors. Communicate more often in a way that you think will cause the person with whom you're communicating to say, he talks about what's important to me. And I'll give you a perfect example. In our exchange earlier, you know, one of us said, how are the kids? Okay. One of the small ways you can improve the chances that somebody believes the quality of your communications are solid is know their kids' names. Now, as I've told many people before, what's the secret to learning kids' names and never forgetting them? It's the same thing about learning anyone's name. You don't have to remember their names. It'd be good if you wrote them down. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And birthdays too and all that stuff. But too many people don't do that and then they beat themselves up about it. It's as simple as saying, I'm so sorry, I've forgotten your children's names. It's completely fine. People don't mind. And in fact, they consider it a plus because they know you don't know their kids' names. So that's a small thing that improves the quality because you're talking about things that are important to them. And if you say, how are the kids? They believe that's you being polite. And if you say, how are Hannah and Hayden, right? My friend Dana Gordon's kids, you know, or Emily and Ryan, my friend David's kids, that comes across completely different. So in addition to talking about things that are important to them, we also recommend you give. And in fact, talking about things that are important to another person is in fact a form of giving, but you can give favors. You absolutely can. Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anyone I can help? If you ever need anything, let me know. Right? And then sometimes you're going to get in a pinch because they're going to ask you to do something that's a stretch and you have to decide how important they are versus how important, you know, what they're asking you to do is to you. And how important the relationship is to you. I find that most people, now, I'm not a good example because of my role these days, which kind of stings, but I find that most people don't ask for too much. There have been times in my life where I got frustrated with giving. I'm as human as the next person and just feel like, geez, when is this ever going to end? And yet I think back and I've had a wonderful professional life. And I think, okay, maybe all the giving was obvious to me and all the getting wasn't quite so obvious. Maybe I said the getting was just me being professionally successful and the giving was just hard work. I don't know. I don't know.
Good point.
Yeah. Look, 10% of the people you meet and want to continue a relationship with you won't like you no matter what you do for all kinds of reasons, which maybe have nothing to do with you. 10% of the people that you meet will love you no matter what you do. You just click. 50% will stick around because you are who you are, you act the way you do, whatever. But there's no point in tying yourself in knots to be someone you're not. It's not what we're saying. In the same way that Horseman's Wager says, you know, don't get yourself in a situation where you pretend to be somebody you're not and then get an offer and then think, oh, that's not good. I don't want to go to work there. Or worse, you don't get an offer. And you think to yourself, I wonder if I got an offer that I would just been myself. What we're saying here is assess your relationships with other people, take conscious steps to increase the frequency and quality of the communication within that relationship. And I think that stands in contravention or in disagreement with most people's approach, which is, I'm just going to let this relationship develop. No, what you do is you send an email within 48 to 72 hours after you meet somebody. And then when they send back, hey, great news, then you write down, you know, you stay in touch with them. I finally have a few people staying in touch with me. They finally figured out Control-Shift-K or whatever it is and whatever application that they use. I get a note from them, hey, just updating you on how things are going and so on. And when those people ask me for something, I'm going to give it to them and I'm not going to charge them because they're working at it and it means something to me. And I kind of have to eat my own dog food anyway. But don't let your relationships develop naturally. Decide who's important to you. And don't be selfish about that. Decide who maybe you could help as well. Figure out what your quantity and quality is. And then engage in behavior to help. Simple as that. It's not hard. And don't beat yourself up if you're not very good at it. Because I wasn't for a long time. And I still don't think I'm terribly good at it. And I still have days where I don't reach out to everybody I'm supposed to. But forgive yourself the mistakes you make. And keep trying. And you'll end up at the end of the year with more relationships. Yeah. Give yourself a goal for the number of relationships you want to have. Or give relationships a score, an A, B, and C, and a 1, 2, and 3. The 1, 2, and 3 for frequency and the A, B, and C for quality. And then judge everybody and then figure out what your new matrix is going to be for the number A1s and the number C3s. Maybe you got to get rid of some of your C3s. Nothing wrong with that.
Not at all. You mentioned earlier, either implied or you said it directly, is when your relationships are warm, right? Even maybe even lukewarm, it's far easier to get what you need when you need something.
Oh,
than
huge.
Than if they're cold, yeah. Right?
Dude, I've said this 100 times. I don't know that anybody's ever reached out to me and said, that helped me. And I can't believe it's not so. I mean, we're not geniuses here, but I just can't believe nobody's hearing me when I say, if you start thinking things aren't great at your job or your company or your industry and you just have a tickle, that's the time to start thinking about your network.
Right. Not when you need the interview. Not after you got fired.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's a bit like you're on a train. You know the train is coming to a chasm in 50 miles. And you call a friend and say, can you start building a bridge for me? It's the difference between the train being right at the edge and then screaming at people, hey, I'm about to go over the cliff. And everybody goes, bye. And by the way, when you feel that panic, it comes across and people feel like you're not asking for a favor. You're asking them to pull your fat out of the fire, which you didn't do the courtesy. I mean, must not be that much of a friend. You only call them when you're desperate. So clearly they're not your best friend because your best friend you would have called right away. And you waited at the last minute, meaning they have a lot of pressure on them. And the tone in your voice is like, I really think you ought to do this for me. Or even worse, you don't even ask him at all. And they don't have enough time, so they feel pressure, but they know you can't just snap your fingers and get what you want.
Right. Well, think about it this way. You know, unfortunately, the vast majority of professionals are not listening to career tools, nor are the vast majority of managers listening to manager tools. Now, they should. Now, the fact that they're not, okay, shame on them.
Okay, whatever.
But they're not. And so if you're listening to this cast and you don't have a great network and you haven't done many of the things that we talk about, well, you know, don't feel like you're out in the wilderness by yourself. The vast majority of people are in the same situation, unfortunately. And just think about it. You need to fire up your network. It takes time for you to reestablish those connections. Well, guess what? The folks that you want to rely on, the folks that you're reaching out to, a lot of time for them to help you, they have to reach out into their network. And they haven't built it the same way you haven't built yours. So there's this huge lag time as the whole engine of relationships gets cycled up.
Yeah, I also feel like people feel guilty about asking, and the guilt comes across in the ask, and there's a little bit of desperation, and that doesn't behoove you well. It doesn't increase effectiveness. Imagine you get a call from somebody and say, you know, in 3 or 4 months, I'm thinking it might be time to make a move. I'd like you to just be thinking about it. I'll call you back and, you know, send you an email in a few weeks, see if there's anything you think of. I'm going to send you my resume next Tuesday, and then you send it. And, of course, then the moment they have your resume – and folks, I'm not suggesting the only reason you activate your network, whatever, is simply to change jobs. I'm just using that as an example. But the moment you have their resume, you can ping them every 3 weeks and say, hey, heard anything? And frankly, the first few times that you're a professional and you get notes like that, it kind of bugs you. Like, is this reminding me that I'm supposed to do him a favor and I owe him a favor? And is he telling me shame on me? And then you get over that and you realize, no, this person's doing it right, and I'm just embarrassed that I can't do what I want to do for him. And you say, okay, I'll try to see if I can do something. And folks, when somebody asks you for that kind of favor, if you can't do it, you can't do it. You should make some calls. You should send some emails. If it doesn't work out, just admit it freely. But don't go silent. Don't ignore calls. Don't ignore emails on the other side of the coin, of course. Look, you mentioned about warm relationships. And the mistake that people make about relationships, and that's kind of why I suggested the ABC in the back of my mind, there's cold and there's warm and there's hot. You don't need to have all your relationships be hot. Not everybody is your best friend. The key is to avoid lots of cold relationships. And so what you need to do is engage in behaviors that turn cold relationships into warm so that when you need them, you can reach out to them. And now mind you, from a karmic point of view, if you never support or help anyone else, if you're not giving at all, and you wonder why when you reach out, you don't get any response, well, karma is your answer, right? Don't expect the system to behave differently toward you than you behave toward the system. It's just human behavior we're talking about here. And if you want to not do things for other people, then expect them to do things for you. You're not only being manipulative, you're being small. I certainly don't want to be associated with you. You know, there's that old saying about cooks putting something on the back burner. If you're cooking a meal and the meat isn't ready, there's no reason for having the water that the carrots are going to go into boiling on the stove, right? So you don't need to boil it. But what you can do is put that water on the back burner. It warms up a little bit. And then when you need to boil it, you turn it up and it's boiling in no time at all, as opposed to waiting 5 or 6 minutes if you waited until the very last minute when you need the carrots ready. If you want hot water right at the precise moment you need to put the carrots on, then it'll be ready for you. And that's because it's warm to begin with. So the way you avoid letting relationships get cold is reaching out on a regular basis. Now, I've always said 3 to 4 months. I think as a general rule, other than the 10 or 20 people that you're in constant contact with at work, and maybe it's as many as 30 or 40, depending upon your role, wouldn't surprise me at all. It's not 200, because then probably you're using too coarse a measurement for what is good frequency and whether or not you have great relationships. You may have worked with somebody before and know them well, but if you haven't talked to them in a year, you don't have a hot relationship with them. But other than those 10 or 20 or maybe even 30 or 40 that you have a frequent relationship with just as a function of your work life or some significant part of your social or familial life, other than those, you've got to figure out how often you want to reach out to people. I have found 3 to 4 months to be very helpful for me in the last 20 years. Some people may choose longer. I don't like 6 months. I just think that's too long. It feels like 2 times a year is not enough. Some of you may discover 2 times a year is fine. I have no problem with that. It's all a matter of outcome, right? If you can do it as few as 2 times a year and keep the relationship warm, good. My gut tells me that's not so, and I have plenty of data that says 3 to 4 months is more reasonable. There are some people that I stay in contact more frequently than that. For a long time now, if I get a tickle in the back of my head, I dial the phone because I'm thinking it must have been too long because I haven't reached out to that person. Unfortunately for me, I have so many people in my Rolodex that it's not helping me. And I've gotten bad at it in the last couple of years just because we've been so busy building manager tools and career tools. But keep your relationships on the back burner as opposed to in the icebox by reaching out periodically, every 3 to 4 months. That way, when you need your network, you'll be asking someone with whom you have a warm relationship. And I suspect that people have been reaching out to their network and wondering why the network isn't responding. And it's because you're reaching out to a cold network rather than a warm network. And the warm network can only happen. The warmth of the network is only affected by your communications before you need the fire on, before the crisis hits. That's it.
There you go.
Not rocket science.
Pretty straightforward.
Measure them. You know, simple. What's your quantity? You know, what's your frequency of relationship and what's your frequency of communication and what's the quality of your communication? And then reach out, try to give more than you get, and then keep them warm. I mean, I know it sounds really basic, but almost no one does it. It's not hard to do in terms of complexity. And if you want the kind of relationship that lasts through physical moves for you and your family, you have to put some effort into it and you have to work hard to stay in touch with people. The thing that happens naturally in relationships is decay, not growth. And if some people don't want to be friends with you, let them go. That's okay. There are a few other billion people on the earth and somebody else will come along. We're sure of it.
Yeah, I found with all those people, even for me, there's at least a couple people who actually like
it. Oh, I love your partner.
All right, my friend. We'll see you next time.
All right.
Have a great one. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.